So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Now I know I was supposed to get back to Off the Beaten Path today with the state of New York, but there's a couple things that have been going on here that I want to get into first. If I have enough time, then I'll go ahead and get started on New York today. First thing I want to talk about, I'm actually pre-recording this on Monday morning as I am awaiting the Great American Solar Eclipse. So by the time this airs on Wednesday and again on Thursday, it will be a part of history. But I'm looking very forward to witnessing this thing. I'm just outside of the path of totality. So for all intents and purposes, I will be seeing a full solar eclipse, which I have not witnessed before. This will be my third eclipse that I have witnessed as an adult, but this is by far going to be the most spectacular. They've always been a quarter or a third, something like that, depending upon where I was. But I have never been able to see one this close to the path of totality. It's going to be really, really awesome. Now, like most people, I waited until the last moment to go looking for these eclipse viewing glasses. And of course, they're sold out everywhere across the country. Had I thought about this 3 weeks ago, Walmart and all the grocery stores probably had them for like a dollar a piece. But no, I waited, and so they're gone. I did, however, go online. I'm going to tell you this because by the time you hear it, it'll be too late for you to do this and blame it on me if something goes wrong or you don't do it right. But there are multiple ways that you can actually view an eclipse. Now, the most common one is the pinhole, where you take a saltine cracker or a colander or something like that and let the sunlight shine through it, and you can see the crescent shadow on a piece of white paper. But it's not really very spectacular. One of the easiest ways with modern cell phones and the like is to go ahead and view it through your smartphone, because you're not looking directly at the optics, which have a tendency to funnel and focus the ultraviolet rays directly into your eye, which is why they say never look at the sun with a camera or binoculars or anything like that. However, I would not recommend pointing a camera at the sun, because I don't think it would take too many seconds before it would overload and burn something out in your phone. However, for a couple of seconds to see it here and there, or to snap a picture, I would think that would actually be fine. The other way is to make your own glasses, which is what I did. I went online and I discovered that aluminum, silver, chromium, as well as gold block UV rays. Now, this is why, if you look at the Apollo moon landings, the visors on the helmets are gold. They were actually covered with a very, very thin film of pure 24 karat gold. And it was enough to not only reduce the amount of light coming in, but to block the UV completely. So Mylar is aluminized plastic. If you're not familiar with it, there are balloons that are made out of Mylar. By the way, they say do not use a Mylar balloon because it's so thin that the surface can crack and let UV light through. But if you have Mylar film, it will work. Now, what I did to make my pair of goggles, I didn't even make glasses, folks, I made goggles. I put these things, they're shaped to cut around my nose, and I can actually hold them back against my ears. These things are gorgeous, and they are brilliant gold. I used gold Mylar. But I started out with a layer of film for tinting your car, automotive tinting film. I used that as the basis. I left it intact, didn't peel off the clear plastic backing, made it a little more stiff. And then I put a layer of adhesive gold Mylar that I had left over from a project. I got this stuff, gosh, I want to say 25 years ago for something that I never used it for until last year when I was running for public office. I cut my name out in giant gold Mylar letters and put it on the side of the car. But I still had a piece that was about a foot square left. So it gave me two pieces that were about 10 inches wide by 3.5 inches high. I put the first layer on there and did it just like I was tinting a car. You spray detergent solution on there and squeegee it out. When outside, it was still way too bright, so I put a second layer on, and that was much, much better. So I have two layers of Mylar, and I'm also going to be wearing a pair of sunglasses that block 100% of UV rays. Now, they're not made to block eclipse rays, mind you, but anything that may work its way through, and I seriously doubt that two layers of Mylar are going to keep anything else from coming through. But in the event that they do, it'll give me an extra layer of protection, both for darkness as well as UV protection. So I am looking very forward to getting out here in the next little bit as the solar eclipse begins. Of course, I'm going to be watching on television and getting all psyched up for when it happens, and got to delete some frame off of my camera here at my card is used up, so I got to delete some frames off of there because I want to get plenty of photographs. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event, at least for me here. There will be another complete solar eclipse in, I believe, 2026. That's going to go from Texas up through Maine. So anybody living across to the Ozarks and up into New England is going to get the same thing that we're viewing here today. And interestingly enough, in 2045, there will be another coast-to-coast total eclipse just like we are experiencing today. So I have the potential to witness very easily two more of these in my lifetime, if not more. And you bet I'm going to keep this pair of homemade goggles here. They're going to serve me well today, and they will serve me well in the future. Although I do believe next time I will go out ahead of time and buy a pair for a buck about a month in advance, which is what I would recommend for you as well. I know a lot of you are in the Ozarks, so keep this in mind, folks. When the next one comes through, you are going to be smack dab in the middle of it, so be prepared. As soon as this is over, production will begin ramping up again, and you'll be able to go online and get a pair of these things now. Do it 7 years in advance, and that way you know that you'll have a whole box load of these things that you can sell at the last minute for probably 20 bucks a piece in another 7 years or so. So entrepreneurs, if you are listening, invest in solar eclipse glasses, and in 2026, just set you up a little stand on the side of the road out in the middle of the Ozarks somewhere, and you will make a killing. Now, George is getting my attention here. What? Oh. Well, George is suggesting that even though you're going to hear this after the eclipse, that I actually treat this like the major news event that it is and report on this thing as it happens. And since I am pre-taping this, I can kind of do that. I can give you kind of the pre-game show thing here and then come back in after it's been done and report exactly on what I saw for posterity. That's actually a very good idea, George. I think that I will do that. Now, for those of you who have never been through an eclipse, if you're not expecting it and all of a sudden it happens, let me tell you, that is really weird. The first one that I went through that happened in, I think it was either 1986 or 87, I was at a friend of mine's house, and we were, I think, playing Frisbee out in his front yard, and all of a sudden, we noticed that everything was turning purple. We were just getting this really purple tinge with the daylight. And I said, Jim, I said, what's going on? Everything's purple. And he said, yeah, that's right. It's an eclipse today. And he ran in the house and he came back out. He had a monocular for viewing the sun. Where he got it, why he had it, I have no idea. But I was able to actually look directly at the sun and view the eclipse through this special green monocular filter. So that was the first one that I went through. So when you go through an eclipse like this, folks, you will notice that everything starts to turn purple. As it starts to get dark, as the daylight fades, the ultraviolet rays will be stronger than the white light. So everything will start to take on a purple glow, much as you see when the sun goes down at night. You know, there's about 5 minutes there where everything's that really cool purple color and anything that's fluorescent just looks like it's glowing. You will experience that during a solar eclipse. It will start out more of a reddish violet and then turn into that really deep bluish violet at the very end. It's a very, very interesting phenomenon. Another thing that's very interesting is that it throws Mother Nature completely out of kilter. It will get dark within a few minutes, so it will reduce the air temperature very, very quickly, much more so than it would if it was just getting dark because the sun went down behind the horizon. So it will get noticeably cooler. Because of that, the wind will start to blow, so it creates a breeze. The crickets will begin to chirp. The birds will go quiet, and then as it comes out the other side, the crickets will go quiet, and the birds will start to sing again. You will have two mornings and two evenings in the same day. Very, very interesting phenomenon. Like I said, this is the third one that I've been through, but by far, this will be the best that I've ever experienced, and I am really looking forward to documenting this and sharing it with you, even though it's going to be after the fact by the time you hear this. It's still part of posterity, and it's really cool. And y'all just dig in the archives in 2026 and listen back to what I'm telling you now, and then you'll have it ahead of time. How's that? But for this one, like I said, I will have my camera ready, and I will be snapping all kinds of photographs of this event. Now, I'll tell you what's really, really cool, folks. Not too far from here, in a little town called Mooresville, and I will say this now because by the time you hear this, it will be over and done. There is a subdivision with all kinds of sun names for the streets. The main road going in is Eclipse, and there is an intersection of Eclipse and Corona. Now, the eclipse will occur at about 2:41 in the afternoon here, which means it's still going to be pretty high in the sky, so you can maneuver anywhere that you need to get that street sign to come in. And I'm sure everybody that's in the area up there is aware of these streets, and that subdivision is going to be clogged with traffic. If I had a camcorder of some sort, I would definitely go up there and shoot this for YouTube. Can you imagine looking up at a street sign where you're standing at the corner of Eclipse and Corona with a full solar eclipse going on behind it? That's a once-in-a-lifetime shot, folks. You cannot duplicate this. Now, I may cut the sign down and take it with me to the Ozarks in 2016. But that would be so awesome. Can you imagine just how amazing that would be to be standing there at the intersection of Eclipse and Corona and be looking at the full solar eclipse, seeing the eclipse and the corona at the same time? Too cool for words. That would definitely rack the points up on YouTube, I guarantee you. Now, speaking of eclipse, George says he has found the perfect outro for me to use at the end of this show. What is it, George? Oh, yes. Pink Floyd from The Dark Side of the Moon, Eclipse. That will be our outro for today. That's very good thinking, George. That will be very perfect. I mean, because we're dealing with the full solar eclipse here. We're looking at the dark side of the moon, And we're looking at a full solar eclipse. So yeah, that'll work. Good job, George. All right, well, folks, it's coming up to the time here where I'm going to break here. Going to run a couple commercials. When I come back, it will be after the eclipse has happened. This was kind of, like I said, the pregame show. When I come back after these commercials, I will be talking to you about what I witnessed in the total solar eclipse of 2017. Timing this break well, too, as my idiot neighbor is right outside my window mowing his lawn. And he always knows when I'm cutting these shows, and he always, for some reason, decides to mow the lawn when I'm going to be on air. Well, that's what you get for having a neighbor with an IQ of 75. Ugh. Be back.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Georgetown law professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Back. The Great American Eclipse is now over. It is a part of history, but it was a cool part of history to be involved with. I really enjoyed it. I was out there for several hours interacting with the neighbors. Went out there just as it started and went until it had pretty much ended. Now, we didn't get total darkness here. It was not a total eclipse. We were in the 97% range, I think. So there was a sliver on the left. It got orange. It didn't go out of the infrared spectrum into the ultraviolet, so we didn't get the purple color. Usually it starts with the orange and goes to that reddish violet and then to the blue violet before it goes totally dark. But it was still kind of interesting. Got a chance to see it through the homemade goggles that I made, and I gotta say, they worked perfectly. Have no problems with my vision, no headaches, no blurriness, no damage whatsoever. I apparently knew what I was doing. seriously, I knew what I was doing. But even when you buy these things, you still don't want to stare directly at the sun, because there's always that little thing in the back of your mind, you know, what if they're not rated right, you know. So it was still really cool. I put on a pair of UV-rated sunglasses and then put this over my face, and I shared it with my neighbors. Now, most of my yard is in shade. My entire backyard is in shade, and so is most of my front yard. I got a small area in the driveway that's open, and then one side yard is open. So I let all my neighbors know, went, started knocking on doors, said, look, I got these homemade sunshades that I made. More than welcome to come over in the yard. We'll have ourselves a little solar eclipse party. And that's what we did for about 2.5 or 3 hours. We all just kind of hung out. They brought over chairs and they sat down in the shade because one of the ladies is, I think, in her 80s. So she was sitting in the shade and able to look up. And I kept passing the sunshades around. And we were able to watch it. It started at the top on the upper right-hand corner because I was north of the complete blockage. So everything came down the right-hand side. Now, if you're on the southern side of the path of total darkness, then it would have been on the left side of the sun. So it came down, started in the upper right-hand corner, moved down, got progressively further and further to the left as, you know, of course it got bigger. And it was just a really, really interesting experience. And I'll tell you what was really interesting that I had never seen from an eclipse before was the shadows from the leaves. Now, I'd heard that they turn into crescents. Why, I don't know. Unless the space between the leaves acts like a little aperture that you can see the crescent of the moon. I don't know, but I got some photographs, and it is really awesome to see the shade on the side of my air conditioner with all these just crescent-shaped. They look like the shading of leaves. It's just really, really interesting. Very bizarre. That was one thing that I had never experienced during an eclipse before. So now, since this one only went orange, and I had been through them where they were purple before, apparently I was even closer and didn't realize it, or maybe the conditions were a little bit different. I don't really remember, because one was in the early 90s and one was in the late 80s. And that reminds me, I think I said before the break that the next one is going to be going from Texas through the Ozarks and up through Maine would be in 2026. It is 2024. So my math is horrible here. Help me out here, George. It's what, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 7 years from now. So that's not too long of a time to wait for a short little drive, and some of you that may have missed this one may be in the direct path of the next one. So keep that in mind, folks. 2024, followed by 2045. Now, one thing I do want to add about the solar shades that I made myself, I did check them out. Somebody, one of the neighbors, actually was my next door neighbor, the one with the low IQ, his girlfriend had found a pair of commercial ones that she had bought a couple weeks ago. So I looked through those, and the amount of shading and the tinting and everything was pretty much spot on. Mine were a little bit more of a greenish gray. The commercial ones were orange, but the reduction of sunlight was just about spot on. So I got lucky as far as that. All I found were the instructions on how to do it and what blocks it, not how many layers you need to make it actually work. So I was actually pretty pleased with the results. But that's just kind of the way, you know, we do things in this neighborhood. Everybody gets along. Everybody, really good neighbors, and to be able to share something like this with really good neighbors is unusual, particularly in this day and age where you have so many new people moving into these neighborhoods. And in fact, we've had a few new people move in recently. A house was sold across the street several years ago, and it's kind of a rental property, but they seem to be doing a pretty good job of getting good tenants in there. The house next to them is a rental. Sometimes there's good people, sometimes there's bad. We had another house down the road where the owner passed away several years ago and that got sold, unfortunately, to some Mexicans. but they mind their own business. They're not doing anything, and they're the stereotypical hard workers. They don't bother anyone. We don't bother them. And unfortunately, with the loss of my really good friend 2 months ago, her house is eventually going to be put up for sale as well. So it's a shame to see the neighborhood changing. I've been in this house now since 1984, so 31 years? No. My math is really horrible. 33 years I've been in this house. There's only one family that's been here longer than I have. So we're the last holdouts. Used to be a really, really nice high-end neighborhood back when it was built in the 50s and 60s. And unfortunately, over the years, it has changed with the demographics. As the city expanded, the people moved out, and the people who were further in the city moved further out. So now you have what's now probably a middle-class neighborhood. It's still expensive enough that you don't get a whole lot of trash or riffraff unless they're renting. And usually they're drug houses, and they don't last very long. There's enough police in this neighborhood. We keep them at bay. But I still live on the safest street in the city, statistically. As long as I'm living here, people know not to come on this road. I've actually had neighbors tell the media, when the media were out here, want to speak with me, that they call me before they call 911 because they know I'll be there quicker, and they know they can count on me. Those are the kind of neighbors that you want, folks. And it really doesn't matter who they are. In this day and age, if you're fortunate enough to have good neighbors, you're lucky. Okay, so I got a few minutes left here, folks. I want to just go over real quickly about a poll, a very recent poll here that was put out by Reuters, that says the majority of Americans think Confederate monuments should be preserved in public spaces. And it's a view that pretty much seems to go against what the media and everyone else would have you believe. But of course, as we know, the squeaky wheel always gets the grease, as my ex-wife always used to say. And this poll was conducted between August 18th and the 21st, and it found that 54% of adults said that Confederate monuments should remain in all public spaces, while 27% said they should be removed from all public spaces, and 19% said they really didn't know. So as usual, I mean, this went right down party and racial lines. Whites and Republicans obviously were largely supportive of the preservation of these monuments, whereas the Democrats and minorities were more likely to support removal. Now, just here in my great state of North Carolina last week, a travesty was committed by a group of Negro thugs, and these hoodlums tore down a Confederate statue in Durham. And it was horrible to see, folks, to see not just being taken down, but to be vandalized and destroyed like that. A fat Negress climbed a ladder, put a rope around it, and a bunch of thugs pulled it down, and when it hit the ground, it just crumpled in. And you could see one of these really brave Negroes kicking part of the statue off, and it's just absolutely disgusting. But the time is fast approaching when we will take our country back, my friends. So, as promised, I'm going to leave off with Eclipse by Pink Floyd. George says that because this song is called Eclipse, you shouldn't listen directly to the speakers. George, you're an idiot. As always, my friends, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, take care. It's been Tommy Freedom, out for now. Yes, George, you're an idiot.